What if the very systems designed to manage people are actually holding them back? At Netflix, this question led to something radical: eliminating vacation policies, expense approvals, and performance reviews. The result? A culture so powerful that its internal presentation went viral with 15 million views, earning praise from Sheryl Sandberg as the most important document to come out of Silicon Valley. This wasn't reckless abandon, it was a calculated bet that adults don't need to be managed like children. When Netflix realized it would soon consume a third of US internet bandwidth, traditional management wouldn't cut it. The solution wasn't more rules, but fewer. By stripping away bureaucracy, they discovered something profound. People walk through the door with power already inside them. The question isn't how to empower them, it's how to stop getting in their way. Think about the last time you needed 3 approvals to spend $50. Frustrating, right? Netflix eliminated virtually all approval processes, telling employees to simply act in Netflix's best interest. No vacation policy? Take what you need. No travel restrictions? Spend company money like it's your own. No annual budgets? They're outdated within months anyway. This wasn't chaos disguised as freedom. The flip side was radical responsibility. Everyone was expected to practice brutal honesty, engage in fact-based debate, and check their ego at the door. When Netflix cut middle management layers after a painful 2001 layoff, something unexpected happened. Everything moved faster. Teams became more proactive. Innovation flourished. Ted Sarandos doubled content production yearly while earning critical acclaim by giving creators freedom without micromanagement. The most powerful motivation isn't bonuses or perks, it's the chance to do meaningful work alongside brilliant colleagues. Freedom without responsibility is anarchy. Responsibility without freedom is prison. Netflix found the sweet spot between them, proving that when you treat people like adults, they rise to meet that expectation. Most companies hoard business information, but Netflix established a heartbeat of communication, keeping everyone synchronized. Every quarter, new employees attended college, where department heads spent an hour diving into their area's challenges, metrics, and goals. New hires called it drinking from a fire hose, but emerged with the same vocabulary and priorities as executives. Questions flowed freely. When an engineer questioned Ted Sarandos about content windowing, it sparked Netflix's revolutionary all-episodes-at-once release strategy. The litmus test. Stop any employee in the elevator and ask them to list the company's 5 most important priorities. If they can't rattle them off using the same words in order as leadership, your communication heartbeat isn't strong enough. Business literacy isn't an MBA luxury. It's the foundation that makes rules and approvals obsolete. We've been taught that honesty can be cruel, but what's actually cruel is letting someone fail without telling them why. At Netflix, radical honesty became the currency of trust, flowing in every direction, regardless of hierarchy. Eric Colson learned this when colleagues told him his communication was unclear and too lengthy. It stung, but he improved dramatically, rising from individual contributor to VP of data science in under 3 years. He contrasted this with Yahoo, where withholding criticism meant constantly compensating for other shortcomings, exhausting for him, unfair to them. The executive team modeled transparency through start, stop, continue exercises, publicly telling colleagues what to start, stop, and continue doing. When Reed Hastings admitted Tom Willerer was right after vigorously arguing against him, it sent a powerful message. Dissent isn't disloyalty, it's valuable. A Deloitte study found 70% of employees remain silent about performance issues. Leaders must demonstrate openness to criticism, or employees will never be truly candid. Netflix executive meetings resembled intellectual combat zones, the best kind. People argued intensely, not to win, but to understand each other's thinking. Questions like, "How do you know that's true?" enabled constant reinvention. Strong opinions weren't the problem when grounded in facts. The danger came from people who won through persuasion rather than merit. Netflix remained data-informed rather than data-driven. When streaming revealed surprising preferences for shows like Storage Wars, Ted Sarandos' team used data to complement judgment, overriding data requirements for Orange Is the New Black based on creator Genji Kohan's vision. When surveys showed some loved the Q feature, but A/B tests revealed removing it didn't affect retention, they freed system capacity for better streaming. Small groups work best for debates. Everyone participates and builds cross-team relationships. Staging debates publicly models good argumentation. The key is acknowledging that even compelling fact-based arguments can be wrong, requiring conclusions to be revisited without ego. Companies obsess over product roadmaps, but rarely apply the same rigor to team building. When Netflix needed to handle a third of US internet bandwidth, their IT team couldn't scale fast enough, ultimately requiring partnership with Amazon Cloud Services. Loyalty becomes problematic when business needs outgrow employees' capabilities. Visualize your ideal team 6 months from now. What will they accomplish that isn't happening now? How will work happen differently? Meeting patterns, decision speed, collaboration styles. This reveals gaps in hard skills, management capabilities, or capacity builders who know how to build great teams. Netflix operated as a sports team, not a family. Leaders constantly scouted talent and reconfigured teams based purely on performance needs. The hardest truth? You don't owe people jobs they're not prepared for. When there were no legitimate promotion spots, Netflix encouraged people to look elsewhere. Growth brings problems requiring different experience. Building tomorrow's team means making hard decisions about who stays and who moves on, preserving core elements of success while avoiding nostalgia that resists necessary change. Netflix's talent philosophy centered on three principles. Managers owned hiring and firing decisions, they hired only great fits, and they parted with good performers whose skills no longer matched evolving needs. As John Ciancuti noted, knowing when it's time for people to move on goes hand in hand with bringing in top performers. While competitors offered kegerators and unlimited snacks, Netflix recognized true workplace happiness comes from solving hard problems with talented colleagues and creating products customers love. They paid competitive salaries but eliminated traditional bonuses, believing committed adults don't need annual incentives to work harder. Netflix decoupled pay from feedback, encouraging employees to interview regularly to gauge competitive rates. They rejected predetermined salary ranges, instead paying top of market based on the value someone would create. Research shows successful companies practice intentional non-egalitarianism, placing star performers in business-critical roles where they have maximum impact. Transparency about compensation rationale helps address biases and creates honest dialogue about how roles contribute to performance. When employees' passions don't align with company priorities, it's better for both parties if they move on. Clear communication about direction helps people evaluate their fit. Performance improvement plans often prove incompetence rather than genuinely help. When someone isn't right for a job, it's typically a hiring mistake, not their fault. Instead of labeling people as failures, ask, is what this person loves to do, that they're extraordinarily good at doing, something we need someone to be great at? This removes emotion from personnel decisions. Employees can use the same question to assess whether they should stay. Proactively letting people go was the hardest component of Netflix culture for managers to embrace. The distinctive culture helped consistently recruit great talent despite fierce competition. As Jessica Neal noted, culture is the strategy of how you work. Make HR people true business partners who understand revenue drivers, competitors, and market disruptions. Building a culture of freedom and responsibility will amaze you as people step up with confidence to speak up, take risks, make better judgments faster, and surprise you with ideas. Building a culture of freedom and responsibility is evolutionary, not instantaneous. Prioritize based on your most pressing challenges. If bureaucracy slows decisions, eliminate approvals first. If teams lack context, strengthen communication. If mediocre performance persists, raise the talent bar. Each change reinforces the others, creating momentum. Remember, people already have power. Your job isn't to give it, it's to unleash it from policies that never served them. you'll face resistance from managers fearing lost control and employees accustomed to being told what to do. Persist through the discomfort. Netflix proved that when you strip away traditional management scaffolding, people don't collapse, they soar. They make smarter choices because they understand the business. They move faster because they don't wait for permission. They innovate more boldly because they're surrounded by talented people who challenge them. This isn't utopian fantasy. It's a practical approach that delivered extraordinary results. The question isn't whether your people can handle this freedom and responsibility. The question is whether you're ready to get out of their way.